That's wicked.
What was I meant to say? Like, oh, imagine I just went, how old are you? Or like, what was I meant? I was like, oh, thanks.
That's a mad one.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Right, patrons, Q&A with some of the England questions saved for the England pod.
That's the plan, yes. I mean, no one wants to talk about England anyway, so we just thought we'd do a whole pod on England tomorrow.
Yep. Darren also close. What learnings from playing Sky International will you be taking into the main Sky game? Pass.
Good question.
How I'm doing.
What?
Wonder how I'm doing.
Oh, you've sacked it off, and yeah?
Yeah.
No captains, no nothing.
No, but your captain stays your captain throughout.
Is it?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
No,
what rank, if I had, would impress you the most? Fuck me. Last time I did this, I was 70,000 or something.
Yeah, about the same.
20,900.
Really? Just leaving it dead?
Yes. top 20K, leaving it dead. Pickford, Shaw, Dumfries.
Oh, wow.
Mbappe captain.
How many points did Dumfries? Kane. How many points
this
did Dumfries
game week
get on
so
Saturday?
Far, this game week
you
so
smashed
far,
smashed it.
95 points.
It's only been four games.
For
That's
this
why
round,
you're so high.
3,117
oh
for this
my
round.
Oh, God. How many points did Dumfries get on Saturday for you?
15, I think. Let's
oh,
see.
God.
15 yep. for Dumfries, 7 for Shaw, 9 for Pickford. 18 for Messi, 9 for Kane, and 36 for Mbappe. 95 points this week, so what have I learned? Fucking just leave your team dead.
Oh my God.
Leave your team dead.
Yeah, that's what we've learned. Dumfries was so funny that he got them returns at the weekend, because if you watched all three Holland games, you were not picking him in the group stage. I think his expected goal involvement across the three group games was like 0.1 or something. You just go, nah, it's different. It's not the same as it was last summer. And then bang, Saturday went off. What have I learned?
Transfers, fuck this shit. I'm going to do some.
go get Brazil players quick.
We sell Kevin De Bruyne. Shall I get...
definitely sell Kevin De Bruyne.
I've got to get a midfielder. Sell Kane, Messi or Mbappe.
You're going Vinicius Jr., aren't you?
Okay, Vinicius Jr., I've got to sell Saliba. He ain't played shit.
You've got Saliba. He's not even played at all, mate.
Oh, now I'm 1.2 million short.
Can I answer the fucking question? What have I learned? I've learned that it's tough to finish first. I think I'm learning, and it may change over the next couple of days. So I've got a planned Spanish punt tomorrow that I don't think many others are going to be on. That I'm finding it difficult to differentiate. But it's worth saying, a lot of the talk is you must punt if you're behind. Listen, the right captaincy Saturday was Messi, unless you went Dumfries, and the right captaincy by distance, obviously, on Sunday was Mbappe. So I think it's about picking your moments. I think its relevance towards the Premier League game is not massive because it's so short form. There's possibly things that can be learnt for the run-in. Maybe we're running out of transfers and stuff, but I think the two formats are completely different. I think actually we weren't sure how it would work with this three transfers per round. I think it's been perfect. I think it's worked so well. The problem with the game is the same problem that Sky often has: is the pricing is too cheap. Mbappe and Messi's ownership was both well in excess of like 80% in the top 1,000, I think. And that factors in the fact that there was 9% of the top 1,000 still had Kevin De Bruyne. So there's probably 10% of dead teams in the top 1,000. So the pricing, you have to stretch it out to make an Mbappe like a 13 or a 14 or something. You know, Haaland's got to be monstrous next year. There's no point going, oh, next year, Haaland's 12.0 and Kane's 11.7. Like, you're not giving me a choice. You're only, okay, I'll dive in for Harry when I need him for captaincy. You're not making it a difficult choice. So that's the next level for Sky to become top-notch, I think, is for us to be in a position where it's like, oh my God, can I pay 14 million for Haaland? Can I afford to pay 12 million for a Laporte, for example. Bad example, but you know what I mean. That's the next layer. I wouldn't compare too much the World Cup to the Premier League games, though.
James says he just listened to the pod, and there was a great bit at the 2018 World Cup when they had Slaven Bilic on punditry. They asked him if he thought a penalty should have been given. He said, "I don't care. Can we analyse the football, please?"
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Harbour Boy, West Ham signed the previously unheard of Winston Reid after his impressive performances for undefeated New Zealand at the 2010 World Cup. Has anyone done a Winston Reid in this World Cup and gone from being unknown to a Premier League prospect?
No.
Game's changed now, like no, in the sense that everybody knows everything.
Exactly that, yeah. And I think for us as well, perhaps, I don't know, but perhaps if we'd gone back to 2010, we might have marked out Winston Reid as a player to watch if we'd have researched it beforehand. I don't know. So I think, has anyone come through that you'd say, oh my God, he was completely unknown? Not really. I just think our knowledge of world football, the analysis that's done by so many different content creators, both in the FPL space and non-FPL space, means it's very difficult for a player to completely pass you by with absolutely zero knowledge prior to it. I can't think of anyone. I think like someone like Gvardiol at Croatia, he'd have been one back in 2010. You'd have been like, whoa, fucking hell, he looks a good centre-back. But, and this would be interesting because this probably won't go out till after the Croatia game. But we all knew about him. Like last summer and stuff, he was getting linked with teams. So yeah, very difficult now. It's one regret about football. That mystique you used to have. I used to love that, Serge, when you played a team in Europe and there's no access to them on TV or YouTube or anything. It's like, how good is this team going to be? I haven't got a clue. We can play anyone in the Champions League or Europa League now and I can find stuff out about them straight away.
Adi says, if Southgate could have managed the golden generation, would he have won a trophy?
I don't know if we can equate that. I don't know.
Would he have been able to get the players more united? Difficult to say, isn't it, really?
I'd have a bet he'd have played Michael Carrick more, which still does my head in. Maybe, but I don't... that's very true what you say about the united... A lot of them weren't, right? Mm. A lot of them disliked each other.
Yeah, which we don't get.
And I think what Gareth would have done, actually, gone back to that, is he'd have thrown one or two out, some big names. You don't fit into the ethos of this. You're not coming.
Rob Pick, a fatal four-way match for the worst football commentator or pundit. Dean Saunders versus Leanne Sanderson.
Who?
Versus Leanne Sanderson. Versus John Hartson.
Oh, I know.
Versus Danny Murphy. What is the order of elimination and who is the champion? So for worst, I think that order is almost like Dean Saunders, Leanne Sanderson, Danny Murphy, John
Hartson.
Is she
Hartson. Mixed race girl, blonde hair?
I don't really know.
I think she's right. Pretty bad. Mm. I don't think Danny Murphy's the worst.
Nah.
There you go.
John Hartson, I'd say, is all right.
Oh, no, brain damage on commentary, mate.
Is he?
Yeah, and it's not fun.
I don't think I've listened to Dean Saunders is annoying.
Even we're doing like 10 a.m. games in the morning and clearly he hasn't done the research and stuff.
Fair play. Is McManaman worse than all of Rob's picks above?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Okay. I still never get over when he said, not watch Gareth Bale this year. What? So you haven't watched Tottenham yet this season? Like, I couldn't get over it.
Sam O'Sullivan, how can you beat both Spain and Germany at a World Cup and lose to Costa Rica?
I'm still angry about it. I said that even, I put it in the Slack after
they went through in the
after
end,
they
so.
Beat Spain. Yeah, I'm still angry about it. That couple of minutes when Spain were going out with Germany was, honestly, it was incredible. I think the fucking bird app would have exploded if Spain had gone out having rested players as well. It was incredible.
John Jacobson, would Scotland beat Costa Rica?
Yes.
Probably, yes. I agree with
yes.
that. Harbour Boy, 8 teams have won the World Cup before. Brazil, Argentina, England.
Uruguay.
England, France
Italy,
Germany,
Spain.
Italy, Spain.
Germany.
Yeah, I've got them. That's it, right? 5 Europeans, 3 South Americans.
Yeah.
Who will be the 9th?
Oh, who will be the first new winner?
Portugal.
Could be. Them or Netherlands, I think you'd favour, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Would be one of them two. I don't think either will win this one. You'd probably go with that. Yeah, Portugal or Netherlands.
JC, did you guys know, Did you guys know that Tupac would still be alive today if Lukaku was the shooter?
Oh, my God.
The Tupac was never shot, mate, so, you know.
Was he not?
Nah.
Are you going to tell us some underground story here or something?
He never died. How the fuck is he still producing, like, 3 albums a year for about 10 years after he died, man? Tupac was shot, mate.
You're going to upset some people.
It was tracks after tracks after tracks after Tupac died coming out.
Oh, my God, he just had a fucking day, Lukaku.
Tupac or Big E?
You're asking someone who's not an expert, okay. Clearly.
Ask me Big E.
Ask me an FPL question.
I'd say Big E, but Tupac was still good. But I don't know, there was something about Big E's life after death.
Big E, Big E, Big E, yeah. Can't you see?
Rob Pick wants to know, what did Garner do to Brad Parker?
Oh, what's going on? Bradley was getting properly vexed during Ghana and Uruguay about how much moaning they've been doing about Suarez.
On Slack or on Twitter?
No, on Slack, yeah. Okay. But he did tweet something as well.
Brad's replied, let's see. He has said, bitch about their own mistakes.
Brad, you took it too far. Let it go, mate.
Jarvo. James, do you think the Japan ball was on the line? Or was it divine justice for Lampard's goal in 2010?
Look, let me just summarise this now because it's been done to death. If it had been goal line technology for a goal, it's not a goal. The goal wouldn't be given. As much as it looked to the naked eye, there's no still picture or anything like that that shows that the ball is in line, other than there's one from the direct angle in line where it looks like, yeah, a bit of the ball is still in play. So we can't be angry about it. If that happens on the goal line, it's not a goal. So technically, the ball did not leave the field of play. Correct decision. We can hate it because it just, morally, it looks wrong, but it's the right decision.
Ronarid, what are your thoughts on the FA Cup TV selections? You've got Man United, Preston.
No, we haven't.
No, Man United, Everton.
Yeah.
Liverpool, Wolves. Yeah. Cardiff, Leeds. Oxford, the Arsenal.
Sheffield Wednesday v Newcastle as well. I know this always gets like people angry with the TV selections, but
Man United always get shown in the third round.
But then I would expect United and Everton to be on. Yeah. It's two of the biggest traditional teams in the country. And we can all look at it and say, oh, I don't want to watch Man United v Everton. Like, for me, it's a take it or leave it. It's on a Friday night. I'll watch it. I won't watch it. I don't really care either way. If it works out and I'm in the house, fine. It's probably on. And people were like, no, you need to. The one I was surprised about was that Leicester wasn't on away to Dagenham or Gillingham, particularly if Dagenham was to beat Gillingham in a replay, because then it's non-league team against Premier League team. And it seems ridiculous that that's not been chosen. And Gillingham also, as Lewis Browning will obviously tell you on Patreon regularly, are having a disaster fuck at the moment. I think they're 23rd in League Two. So it's potential for a big giant killing. I'm surprised that that one didn't get selected. But the idea of, I think one was like, I think Bournemouth got Accrington Stanley, right? And people, stick Bournemouth, non-league team, lowest ranked or something, or they're doing quite well in the National League. Stick them on against Accrington Stanley. Who are they exactly? The reality is, okay, some of the romantics of us might think, oh, that's good. These companies ain't getting fucking viewing figures from Bournemouth and Accrington Stanley. They're getting it from Manchester United and Everton. As much as the romantic of us might think, oh, I'd rather watch that. Let's see how the non-league team does in the FA Cup. You ain't getting anywhere near the viewers that Manchester United and Everton will get or Liverpool and Wolves will get. And that's what it will come down to. They will pick their games based on where they think the value is for them in terms of TV. It's as simple as that. And more people, unfortunately, more people would watch Manchester United versus Everton than watch Bournemouth against Accrington. Fact.
David Beaton, how much do you think refs should get paid?
Good question. Weren't they on like 40, 50 grand a year? Did we?
Is that what they're on?
Bit more. I think the top boys might be on more like 70, 80 grand a year.
250,000 a year.
Do they earn it? Do they make the correct decisions all the time?
That's what they should be on. Because it kind of, the more you earn, the more responsibility and pressure there is there.
Yeah, perhaps they should have a big incentive and bonus schemes for getting shit right. I don't know.
What's right? That's a bit of a grey area.
Well, stop fucking up. And there's been VAR fuck-ups in this tournament, by the way. I still don't know why, like, Antoine Griezmann's goal for France against Tunisia. I have no idea why that's disallowed.
Do you think there will ever be a time when ex-pros can become refs, or are football fans too paranoid to accept that? Even thinking about it makes me think, yeah, probably not, mate.
No, but I think probably top level, yeah. But could we have, you know, former League One or League Two players becoming Premier League refs?
Yeah.
Why not? Why not? Could I foresee Declan Rice refereeing Tottenham against Chelsea? No, probably not. So I think there's...
Wait, you don't think he likes Tottenham, but likes Chelsea?
It's also worth saying, why would Declan Rice become a referee? He'll earn more this week than he'd get in a year as a referee, right? So why would he? But lower down the scale of professionals, yeah, it would be great to have footballers who understand the game refereeing. But yeah, I can see the problems with it.
Jarvo, were Birmingham right to retire Bellingham's shirt? What a player.
They were geniuses, yeah. No, I'm sorry, I'm not having it.
David Hunter, I'd admit I'm biased, but why don't people rate Jordan Henderson, do you think? Is FPL part of the reason, as he's fairly low on the assets, assists, goals front?
No, because, you know, him and Declan Rice will score similar FPL points over a season, and I don't think many of us judge Declan, who becomes Deckers for me when he plays for England. Sudge, what do you call him? Go on, Deck.
Declan.
Do you call him Declan? Yeah.
Rice.
Deckers.
Rice.
I call him Deckers.
Rice.
Go on, Rice. Go on, Packer to Rice.
Deck. I'll let you know. Next time I'm in the throes of shouting his name in the middle of the game.
Yeah, what do you shout?
I'll let you know.
Deckers. Go on, Deckers. I don't know why.
Deck, to be fair.
So, no, I think it's probably comes from playing for, with respect, a more glamorous team in Liverpool. And him being not a glamorous player. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Whereas at West Ham, he stands out, right? If they were the other way round, if Henderson played for West Ham and Rice played for Liverpool, maybe the thought process on it would be completely different. Maybe Rice will get that if or when he moves, which judging by his press... judging by his press conference the other day would suggest that he obviously is going to move. Yeah. He was put in a pretty uncomfortable position.
Yeah.
He possibly could have answered it a bit better, but there you go.
Carl JB... Question from my son, Dylan. Well, if your son ain't a patron, mate, you know, but we will do it.
He might be underage. Is there a limit on what age you have to be?
Old enough to have a debit card.
I got a DM.
old enough to have a debit card.
I got a DM the other day. It's honestly true. I presume this person can't be listening to this. But they DM'd me and said, I just want to thank you for everything you've done throughout this year and stuff. I'd sign up to Patreon, but I don't think my mum will let me.
That's wicked.
What was I meant to say? Like, oh, imagine I just went, how old are you? Or like, what was I meant to say? Oh, thanks.
That's a mad one. Oh, mate. So anyway, the question is, which combination of players is better? Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi and Neymar.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi and Neymar. Is this current?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Versus Pele.
Oh, well, it's not current, is it?
No, those three are current. Versus Pele, original Ronaldo, and Maradona.
Wow.
I'd take the new boys, to be honest with you.
So, who's it with Messi and Ronaldo? Neymar?
Yeah.
And what, Pele?
Ronaldo.
And Maradona. Oh, my God.
I'd take the new boys. The pace of the game now and that, they're protected more these days, maybe.
The others would work harder. So like if you're having a 3v3 legitimately, like Pele was fucking incredible athlete, Ronaldo too and stuff. Neymar is, in fairness, what Ronaldo and Messi gonna do off the ball. I don't know, I'd probably favour the older guys, but I would most often than not pick any team that just had Messi in it. Who did you watch them Saturday night? He had this moment in the second half, Suj, where he beat about four players. And unless you were Australian, at that moment, if you weren't willing him to score, forget fantasy, if you weren't willing him to score, you're not human. It's just I was watching it, I knew I was smiling watching it. It was like he was rolling it back and his legs couldn't go in the way they would have 4 years ago to scored.
Yeah.
He just couldn't get the final burst at the end, but it was great. He just brings so much joy as a footballer. That's why he's my favourite ever.
Okay, we're going to skip some England questions now.
Okay. Are they all good for tomorrow? Are they positive?
This is the point at which you'd put a tweet saying we're going to a message, sorry, in the channel saying, you know, we're going to do England in general. So, yeah, they're all right. And if they're not, I'll skip them. will Ismaïla Sarr start Sunday for Watford, says John Jakobsen.
I think I might have even replied. Did I reply to that last night? Nah, I saw it. Nah. Made me laugh. I don't know. Maybe, yeah. It's obviously for Gaffer, isn't it? Championship restarts this weekend.
Gary Robinson, will Mbappe be the best player England have played against in a tournament since Maradona? Closer to his peak than Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, Rivaldo, Zidane, CR, Cristiano Ronaldo in 06. Mbappe is obviously clearly in form right now. Fucking beastly form. I saw in the Daily Mail today, trash paper, but they had a graphic of his goal yesterday, the 74th minute goal. And it was like 17 yards from goal. He hit it at 82 miles an hour and it was 0.46 seconds or something from boot to back of the net. Don't quote me on them exactly, but it was give or take that. That's fucking hittable.
And he had disguise on it at the same time, mate.
That's fucking hittable.
Yeah, it's a really good question because I think in 02, that wasn't the best Ronaldo. Obviously, the story was great, but it wasn't him at his absolute 100% peak. It was certainly before Ronaldinho's. It was probably around Rivaldo's peak, but you wouldn't put him in the... Although he was a world player of the year, I don't think you wouldn't put him in the breath of the other two, generally, actually. Both of the other two, formerly and later on, became better players. So, yeah, that's probably fair. Ronaldo was still very young in 04 and 06. I think the answer to that is probably yes. He probably will be the best individual player in terms of peak that England have played since 1986. Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Cool. But Sam O'Sullivan, do you follow the Accrington Stanley owner Andy Holt on Twitter? No.
No.
If so, what are your thoughts on the openness and transparency he shows on there? Things like posting income breakdowns from games and stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
We should look into it, Sam.
Yeah.
I think it's quite fun.
Accrington Stanley, who are they? Maybe we're doing money in football on Accrington Stanley.
Sam O'Sullivan, are England the first team to ever make the quarters of a World Cup without getting a yellow card?
That's incredible, isn't
Can't
it?
Can't be.
Yeah. Well, no. It's incredible that we haven't had one. It can't be ever because someone in black and white has probably done it with no yellow cards, right? Might be modern era, though. That's so impressive. Four games without a yellow card. There was a couple we got away with last night, admittedly. Mm. But that's impressive. So only way a player can be suspended now is red card.
Oh, wow.
We won't go through the France game with no yellow cards. I can tell you that now.
JC, is Suj excited for the World Cup yet?
Nah.
I'm enjoying England a little bit more. But that's as much to do with I like the players than the football, per se. But the rest of it, we're now like Brazil are going to go through, Spain are going to go through, Portugal are going to go through. What's the other last 16?
Japan, Croatia might have finished by the time we listen to this.
Croatia. Will go through, and then it's going to be. It's now people you expected to bar Germany.
But that quarter final lineup. If all the favourites you've got, Spain, Portugal, France, Beastly. England, Argentina, Beastly. Netherlands, Brazil, Croatia. I mean, if that's the lineup, that's
decent.
That's yeah. I mean, that's really started. Then that's a phenomenal quarter final lineup.
Okay. Pillars Pen. How many English players get into the France team? I think there is only four.
I put this on Slack, actually. I think it was during their first game. I put it on Slack and said how many England players get in this France team, or might have even worded it the other way around.
So Gary Mansell says, not having a go at Pillars Pen here, but I think the question must always be asked both ways. The implication always seems that it means they have seven better players than our equivalent, but there's a lot of theirs I wouldn't take either. So how many French players get in the England team?
All right, go on.
I'm not sure. Goalkeeper.
Let's do a quick one. Lloris or Pickford?
Pickford, probably. Loris has made more little mistakes in recent times.
I think we're getting to that point, yeah.
Right, and Pickford's made a couple of good saves, right? The save against Kiefer Moore, off Kiefer Moore, where it was going the other way, was decent. The save yesterday. And these are games where he's had fuck all to do as well. So I don't mind Pickford.
His distribution's far better. So, yeah, but I wouldn't, if someone said, nah, it's got to be Loris, I'm okay with that. Right back, we got Koundé versus Kyle Walker. It's Kyle Walker.
Yep.
Left back, Hernandez versus Shaw is close. Close. Hernandez is very good offensively. Defensively, I'm interested to see how he deals with Saka. I would be inclined to go for Luke Shaw, sorry. But we're on three England so far, aren't we?
Yep.
Centre back Stones and Varane, I think.
Yep.
It's fair. Midfield.
Let's assume ours is Rice, Bellingham, Mount, as opposed to Henderson.
Well, no, Henderson's in the team. So I think if you're going with three in there at the moment, you're probably going...
Who are there?
I think Rice, Bellingham, Griezmann probably is a three.
Griezmann as midfielder?
Yeah, he's been playing much deeper, Sudge. I do like Tchouaméni. I know Rob Pick absolutely hates Adrian Rabiot, so we'll just get that in. Tchouaméni, Rice is close. Close. So if you want to go Tchouaméni, Griezmann, Bellingham, I'd be okay with that. Left is obviously Mbappe, Saka over Dembele all day long, and Kane over Giroud. So we got seven England.
Yeah, fair.
The problem is the one on the left wing for them can fucking beat us 4-0 on his own.
Harry G, a random thought. When teams go ahead and are wasting time, why don't they just keep heading the ball back to the keeper instead of letting him pick it up? Is this against the rules or unsporting conduct? Well, it's clearly unsporting conduct. Well, you standing here, me lobbing the ball, head it back to me. Lobbing the ball, head it back to me. That's not football. You'd get booed and fucking pelters thrown.
You'd also be taking a risk, wouldn't you? Like, if you think about it, if there's a player actually challenging you at that moment as you try and head it, you just get a body in or something and the ball's dropped. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. There was a headed back pass in the Japan-Costa Rica game. Was magnificent. I forget who the Costa Rican player, but Japan should have equalised. I'm still angry with him. It should have equalised, and it bobbled about in the box, and it was a Costa Rica player who was on the line on his back, Suj.
Yep.
And he managed to do like a sit up and head it back to the goalkeeper. Class. That was their moment of the tournament, not the goal. Next.
Ian Parrin, do you think the bookies' odds fairly reflect teams' chances of winning the World Cup, or are there some you'd personally rate a lot higher or lower? Let me tell you, James. Brazil, 9-4. France, 9-2. Argentina, 5-1. Spain, 13-2. England, 7-1. And then Netherlands, 12-1, 14-1, Portugal.
So Spain will drop a bit, obviously, if they beat Morocco.
Portugal as well. 14-1 seems high for Portugal. Considering they've got a CR7 sitting up there top.
The one I think arguably there is a little high might even be France, actually.
It's going to be a tough game against England for them.
Of course it is, as it obviously is for us as well. Yeah, I think France might be a little bit... They'll obviously... I mean, you're looking at... Is that SkyBet odds you're looking at? I think it is, isn't it? Judging by the page. So they might have certain liabilities on certain teams, for example. I don't know. Like, should Brazil be half the price of France? I'm not convinced about that, to be honest. But generally speaking, yeah. I mean, if they got shit wrong a lot, we'd all be rich, wouldn't we? They don't.
Sky Blue Army, when you think Coventry have just turned the corner, Mike Ashley reminds Derby why they were lucky he didn't get hold of them. He served his eviction notice on Coventry City. As this is on Patreon, can I call him an arse or worse? You can call him what you like, mate. I have no sympathy for Mike Ashley, but I understand what he's doing.
You understand what he's doing? This is leverage, isn't it?
It's a negotiation tactic, really.
Fucking scummy.
He owns the building and he has a tenant and he's unhappy with the terms of the thing is, he has a tenant who has then got a subtenant. So his tenant was Wasps. Wasps sublet to Coventry. He's probably not happy with the deal that Wasps had or gave to Coventry. He's bought the building. Now they're all in breach of their whatever. So he can fucking kick him out if he wants to.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
What doesn't sit right is the heartlessness of understanding the impact on the football club
and a community.
So he we've seen on Sky News since that he's gone back with revised terms. This is a negotiation tactic. He's like, fucking get out. And they're like, we don't want to leave. He's like, well, then instead change your terms to this.
I didn't read it as he'll kick him out. As shit as it looks, I didn't read it that. I read it as
he'd rather have him in and their money than not.
It's terrible. We obviously did a pod on commentary recently, and you hope that it's coming out the right side from. And yeah, I mean, it's just terrible for the fans to have to worry on it and stuff. It's fucking awful.
Yeah, he's a ruthless guy.
But I would bet that he'll stay there.
Agreed. Jarvo, Cristiano Ronaldo will be paid. This is he's quote tweeted Eurofootball, Eurofoot.com.
Yep.
Cristiano Ronaldo will be paid 200 million euros per season at Al Nassr, Saudi club.
It's all right if you can get it.
Reports Marca, here's the breakdown. 200 million a year.
In case you didn't know, every team in Saudi Arabia is called Alan.
Okay. Equates to 16 million euros a month, James, which is 3.8 million euros per week.
That's okay.
760,000 euros.
It's going to go down to seconds.
A day. No, it doesn't get any further than a day. It's a lot of money. Let's wait and see if it happens.
Whatever, innit?
Let's wait and see if it happens.
Can he not go somewhere even further away? Fuck him.
Kier, would an Argentina-Portugal final, Messi v Ronaldo in Qatar, be the biggest ever sporting event to this day?
I think I'd buy an Argentina shirt.
To annoy Nico.
No. I'd want Argentina to win so much if that happened. It would fucking destroy the internet, wouldn't it? Because it would be a definitive. Unfortunately, the winner would be almost crowned the greatest footballer of all time, wouldn't it? Mm. And it shouldn't be that way because neither are anymore.
Yeah.
Certainly Ronaldo's miles off.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, if it did happen, it would be so definitive, I think, in people's minds.
Agreed.
And I would not want Ronaldo to win that game of football.
It's funny. I was listening to a podcast yesterday with Roger Gracie, who's the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion of all time. But what he did was he competed and then he retired. He must have been 32 or whatever. And then there was this, and he won 10 world titles. So then this other guy, Buchecha, came through and he was like dominant and he'd won 13 world titles. But Hodger, as you'd say, is still regarded as the greatest of all time. But there was then a bit of a debate of greatest fighter and then greatest competitor because he had more titles. So then he came out of retirement for a one-off fight, 20 minutes, submission only fight. And he was talking about it yesterday. So he came out of retirement at 36, 4 or 5 years later. And he said, just before that fight, I knew if I lost, I was always going to be known as number two from there on. That was it. Legacy was done. If I lose, I'll be number two forever. And it's like that fucking pressure of it. That's your whole legacy in one fight. That game, if that happens, Messi versus Ronaldo, for most people, will put a nail in that debate and that'll be it. Look, they had the chance, especially if one of them scores, you know. I'll be interested. I don't know if we could go so far as to say the biggest sporting event ever, but the World Cup final is watched by more than any other.
Oh, don't tell people who watch the Super Bowl. They don't seem to understand that.
Soccer.
God, yeah. No, let's not let it happen. Right. It's more likely to be the third and fourth place playoff, by the way.
Still beastly.
People will still make it definitive if it's the third and fourth place game.
Yeah. I mean, that would be like having two finals if they both went for it in that game. That would be impressive. Right, that's it. That's all the questions we've had. Some of you with your questions about England will get answered in tomorrow's pod, where we will review England 3, Senegal 0, and look forward to the game against France on Saturday. Other than that, though, thank you for your questions. Stay safe, look after yourselves, enjoy the football. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, man. Ciao. Messi,
Football Show.